Matthew records for us in chapter 26 and verse 47, "And while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now his betrayer had given them a sign, saying, 'Whomever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him.' Immediately he went up to Jesus and said, 'Greetings, Rabbi,' and kissed him." As I mentioned, the lesson I'm going to do this morning is the man who kissed the door of heaven and walked through the gates of hell. Before we get in to that lesson, I want to welcome everyone. It's good to see everyone that's able to be with us this morning, especially those that weren't able to make it out Wednesday evening. And we've been praying for so many people's health. On the bad side, it's good we've got good news to pray for. And Mara, we will be praying for your health and the baby's health, and we'll also be praying for Ryan. But we're so happy for all of you. So the record of Judas stands as a warning to all of us. You think about how close he was to Jesus. And we might think if we could get close to Jesus, surely we're going to get into heaven. Well, look at the name of Judas. He was called a thief. He was called the devil. He was called the son of perdition. In John 17 and 12, "While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled." When we go to Luke's account in the book of Acts, and we look at the Acts chapter 1, beginning at verse 16, "Men and brethren, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke before by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered with us and obtained a part in his ministry. Now this man purchased the field with the wages of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his entrails gushed out. And it became known to all those dwelling in Jerusalem, so that the field is called in their own language, that is, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, 'Let his dwelling place be desolate, and let no one live in it. Let another one take his office.' Therefore, of these men who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John to that day when he was taken up, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. And they proposed too, Joseph called Barsabbas, whose name surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, 'You, O Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which of these two you have chosen to take part in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place.'" So we have a little bit of background here of what Judas did. He had to be replaced as an apostle. We see in this account in Acts chapter 1, the qualifications for being an apostle, being from the baptism of John to that day when he was taken up with us. Those men had to accompany Jesus from his baptism. One of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. Another qualification to be an apostle, they had to witness the resurrected Christ. Just as an aside note, with those two qualifications, we know there are not apostles today, even though some men call themselves apostles. And they put up two men that they want to select from. And they prayed and said, "You, O Lord, who know the hearts of all, show us which of these you have chosen." It's interesting. It's like what they just went through with Judas. They wanted to make sure the Lord was making the decision on the right one. The The phrase "kiss the door of heaven" is a metaphorical expression. It means different things depending on the context. It's a figure of speech. In the Bible, Judas is often referred to as the one who kissed the door of heaven because he betrayed Jesus, the Son of God, with a kiss. And in this context, the phrase suggests that Judas had access to heaven. He was part of Jesus' inner circle, but ultimately he chose to betray Jesus and seal his own fate in hell. In a song titled this, "Judas Kissed the Door to Heaven," the lyrics describe a sense of longing and yearning for a connection with the divine. And the phrase "kiss the door of heaven" is used to convey a sense of intimacy and closeness with God. Don't we all desire to have an intimate relationship with God? Don't we desire just to get as close to Him as we can? Back in the Gospel of John, in John chapter 10 and verse 7, Jesus said to them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear him. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." So how do we get to Jesus? Jesus is the only way. He said, "I am the way, the truth, the life." Jesus said, "I am the door. I am the door." He's again using a figure of speech, but you think about this. Judas kissed the door. He kissed the way. He kissed the only way to go to heaven, yet Judas never made it. Acts 1:25, that he may take part of this ministry and the apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. Now I thought, once saved, always saved. Isn't that the way it works? That's what a lot of people teach. You can't fall from the grace of God. Once you're saved, you're always saved. No, that's not what this teaches. "Which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place." And you have to get people to be consistent with their beliefs. And again, a lot of people would say, no, if you're saved, you're always saved. You can't fall from grace. But if you can pick out one point and get them to agree, well, yes, okay, Judas fell. Well, then, is there possibly another one? Is there possibly another sin? Is there possibly another one? Because if one can fall, any can fall. If Judas can fall, I can fall. If Judas can fall, you can fall. It's not once saved, always saved. So let's consider a few things about this man, Judas. I've done several lessons recently on different characters of the Bible with Abraham and Moses and Joshua and Martha. But this character's a little bit different because this story ends differently. But notice, Judas was called to be an apostle, and that was a high honor. He was one of the numbered. Again, in Acts 1, it is written in the book of Psalms, "Let his dwelling place be desolate. Let no one live in it. Let another take his office." We see here that the apostleship is called an office. "Therefore, these men who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, from the beginning of the baptism of John to that day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection." Jesus called these disciples. Judas was one of those that was numbered. This fulfilled Old Testament scriptures that the one that was called, this was going to happen with him. Judas wasn't just any person. Jesus called these men to go out and to preach the word. Judas was a preacher. We don't think of him as that, but Judas was a preacher. In Matthew 10 and verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, "Do not go into the way of the Gentiles, do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach. Preach saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor copper in your money belts, nor bag for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor staffs, for a worker is worthy of his hire." So Judas was one of these that went out and preached. He preached that the kingdom of heaven was at hand. Judas went out, he healed the sick, he cleansed the lepers, he raised the dead, he cast out demons. Judas, how could he do what he did? He was a preacher, but we've got to understand that Satan has his ministers. Satan has preachers. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, "For such are false apostles." So there are false apostles at this time also. "Such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works." So Judas was a preacher. But stop and think. Judas lived in the most intimate contact with Christ. From the time that he was called, Judas heard his words. Judas, he saw his miracles. Those sermons that we are reading in the Gospel of Luke, when Jesus is calling out the Pharisees, the scribes, the lawyers, he's calling them out. He's chewing up one side and down the other. He's telling them what hypocrites they are. Judas is hearing all of that. Judas is seeing the miracles. He's seeing Jesus heal the sick. He's seeing Jesus raise people from the dead. He's seeing Jesus heal all kinds of diseases. Judas, he felt his love. He had to feel the love of Jesus. He was with him day and night for 3 years. He saw the compassion that Jesus had for others. How can you not live with somebody for years like that and not feel what they're feeling, not know what they're thinking, not see what they're doing, not hear what they're saying? And yet, he kissed the door of heaven, but walked through the gates of hell. Judas saw no fault in Jesus. We don't have a record of him calling him out on anything. We see a couple times Peter and Jesus going back and forth over something. Judas, we have no record of him questioning anything that Jesus said. We have no record of him disagreeing with anything that Jesus said. We see that Judas was close to Jesus, but not saved. I don't think we have a record of where Judas called Jesus Lord. And we've got to be careful with ourselves too. When we call Jesus Lord, that we mean it. When we call Jesus Lord, he's not Lord of a little bit, he's Lord of all. He's our new Lord. Satan was our old Lord. Satan was our old master. Jesus is our Lord now. And when we call Jesus our Lord and Savior, we need to mean it. We need to live a life that shows that Jesus is our Lord. He had his name listed among the apostles, but his name was not in the Lamb's Book of Life. He was a talker, but not a doer. He fooled men, but not God. And friends, we can fool people right and left all day long, and people think that we're a good Christian man, a good Christian woman, but we can't fool God. God knows our heart. He was at first a man of high moral character. He was respected by everybody. They didn't suspect Judas to betray him. Why? Because when they were at the table for the Passover feast, they were all asking, "Is it I? Is it I?" And Judas was appointed the treasurer. So he was respected. He was given a job of some responsibility and trust. But I would suggest that the love of money is one of the things that swayed Judas. The love of money is a root of all sorts of evil. His first recorded words showed that he coveted money and designed to turn minds from the person of Christ. In John 12:4, "Then one of his disciples, Judas, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, 'Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?' This he said not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it." That says about all we need to know about Judas. And again, we would call him a hypocrite when he said, why wasn't this money sold? And just think how much, or why wasn't this oil sold? And just think about how much money we could get and all the good that it would do when we give it to the poor. A hypocrite. He was hoping it would be sold so that he could steal from it. But what is it about money that changes somebody? Again, it's not the money itself. It's the love of money. The love of money and that little lure that Satan dangles out in front of us, that sparkly thing that gets us distracted from Christ. Here he is with Christ, the Son of God, the one who owns all, controls all, can give us any and everything that we need. And he doesn't trust in Christ. He hopes to get some money in the box so that he can steal from it for his own desires. Matthew 26 and verse 14, "Then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot went to the chief priests and said, 'What are you willing to give me if I deliver him to you?'" He's saying, "What's in it for me? How much will you pay me? How much will you pay me?" And they counted out to him 30 pieces of silver. So from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. And you see, again, you just think of everything that he had been through with Jesus, hearing what he said, seeing the miracles. And he had this one flaw, one that we know of, where he loved the money. He was so close to Jesus. He was so close to heaven, but he lost it all. And once he reached a certain point, there wasn't turning back. And that, I think, is what you were talking about in class, Lar, going out into the world. You don't want to go out where you can't be reached. The prodigal son came back, but when he reached this point, so from that time, he sought opportunity to betray him. And friends, we never know when we take a step which step it's going to be where we aren't going to come back to the Lord. We never know. So that's why we always want to do and walk within what God tells us to do. Judas became fully possessed of the devil. The seven demons that went into the reformed man. In Luke 22:3, then Satan entered Judas, surnamed Iscariot, who was numbered among the 12. I have Matthew's account here, but the same thing in Luke. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 43, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter and dwell in there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. So shall it be with that wicked generation. We talked about this in our study of Luke, where, and it's also called the law of the vacuum. When something is emptied, something is going to come in and replace it. Friends, when we take Christ out of our life, when we take Christ out of our heart, when we take Christ out of our day, when we take Christ out of our day, something is going to come in and replace it. And it's not going to be just one little thing. It may be one little thing to start, and then another, and then another, and then another. And these seven spirits come in. I think that shows that, again, seven representing fullness, completeness. This man is fully overtaken with these evil spirits now. The man who kissed the door of heaven and walked through the gates of hell. He's an example for us today that we do not follow in his steps. He was called to be an apostle. He was a preacher. He was in intimate contact with Jesus. He was close to Jesus, but not close enough because he wasn't saved. Judas was at first respected. And friends, again, we've got to remember, when we come up out of that baptistry and we are the happiest people there are, people recognize what we've done and we want to go to heaven, but then a day goes by and another day and another day, and Satan's going to come after us. He's going to come after us, and then we're going to compromise. We're going to sin, we're going to give in, and we're going to do something. Judas' weak point was money, the love of money. And again, you think, well, I don't have enough money that it's going to be a sin for me, like my neighbor that has all this money and all of this stuff. It doesn't take all of that, it just takes the love. Judas was fully possessed by Satan in his heart. Friends, may we learn from this lesson. It's a warning for all of us. And may we determine in our heart that we are going to put Christ first. We are going to live for him every day. If we have sin in our life, if we need to repent, if we need to ask for prayers, whatever we need to do, we need to make sure we do it today. If there's anyone that needs to respond, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.